Hey everyone, welcome back to the Dealing With Lifestyle podcast. My name is Fernando.
And I'm Randy.
And we're back.
Yeah, we made it. We're getting our second month in now. No guests this week.
No guests this week.
Or I guess the next few weeks.
But these episodes, yeah.
Yeah, because we do a month at a time pretty much and then chop it up. But yeah, things have been, we're off to a chaotic start to the year. As we kind of talked about earlier, but we don't need to get super into that. But we hope all of you are staying safe, staying sane, and
working. Staying informed, I think.
Yeah.
Without us getting too far into what we talked about outside of the podcast and, I guess, politics and the Wall Street bets, if you guys are following GameStop. But I think the Diamond Hands, baby.
Ape strong together.
To the moon.
To the moon.
But the biggest thing is staying informed. And I think finding information from both sides of the aisle, on both sides of the topic. And I think right now so many people are being, I don't want to use the word manipulated, but are being misguided and just following the herd.
Yeah, use the word manipulated.
Okay. They're being manipulated and being pushed in a certain direction. And I think sometimes when you're not in the outside of the herd, it's hard to get out or to walk against it.
Yeah.
You're stuck in the middle and you're just being pulled in one direction.
Yeah, and without getting too far into it, I'll reference the Time article that we talked about earlier.
Okay.
But Time came out with an article talking about more or less how there was an actual conspiracy in terms of the election, and how they openly admitted to, they didn't use the word manipulate, but more or less manipulated the flow of information to people to influence the outcome of the election, which I think is pretty horrifying. So,
I mean, it's... So I was talking to Brianne about this a few weeks ago, and if you're new here, Brianne is my wife. She's the one I'll mention every once in a while here and there.
Yep.
But she's
the one who hits Fernando regularly.
Yes, she beats me. She doesn't beat me.
She's also in the room. That's why I made that joke.
The difference between meaning and definition, and I know you and I have gone this into this debate. The word is what the word is.
Yep.
But I think that, whenever you're not able to have a discourse and a conversation with someone about a particular topic or a particular word, and then the word manipulation has a specific definition.
Yes.
However, the word has so many different meanings to you and to me and to our audience.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if we're just gonna, have these conversations with people and we use these certain words, there's things that you're saying about manipulating the election that other people are going to use for their own definition.
Right.
And I think it's very, very important. Again, going back to the original thought that I mentioned is, I want people to get informed and really understand what they're getting themselves into.
Yes.
Because there's just so many different tactics that people are using to develop a new meaning to what people, the things that people are getting into. And I think that's just taking us into the wrong path.
Yeah. I totally agree, and I just want to caution everyone to really think critically about the information you absorb. Think about, what is this person trying to say? What is their argument? What is the foundation of their argument? Do the premises of this argument make sense? Does the argument make sense?
And who are they?
Yeah, and who are they?
Have they done? Right.
Who are they to make that
everything
argument?
Everything we're saying right now is exhausting.
Yeah.
But the reality is, like, research should not be easy.
Mm-hmm.
And it shouldn't be exhaustive. And it shouldn't be a 10-second TikTok clip that's going to tell you who you should live your life off of.
Yep.
And I think right now, we're living this life of, if I don't get quick information and I have that goldfish lifestyle of just getting quick and moving on to the next thing, like, we're not going to be able to evolve as a species and as individuals.
Yeah, so that's actually a great segue to multiple conversations I've had this week about what I really deem to be the essence of having a good life. So I've mentioned it before, but I'm working on something just to kind of put all my thoughts together on what I've learned as a person and what I can teach other people. But the main thing I've learned in terms of living a good life is, you need to pursue meaning over pleasure. Well, so what does that mean? So, pleasure can be defined as multiple things. There's the whatever connotation that immediately comes to your head. But in the case of this conversation, and as a reference to Fernando's previous point, instant gratification is pleasure. And because you get the quick dopamine hit from your notifications or whatever, you get that quick little soundbite feedback. You're not taking the time to do something. Sorry, there's a cat hanging with the microphone. So if you guys hear anything, I might hold the microphone over here.
Yeah, I'm not gonna edit that out.
Okay. no, you're good. But in essence, it is harder to do the research, but you have longer term benefits from just putting in the hard work now. So your life is going to be tough regardless of what you do, but you have the choice to choose what kind of hardships you're going to face. So when you're pursuing a life of pleasure and instant gratification, your life is probably lacking meaning, and you're going to just look at the next day and be like, why am I getting up? Okay, I need this to, you know, settle my nerves or whatever.
Well, eventually, like, you run out of cheat codes. Like,
yeah,
if you live,
that's a good way to put it.
If you live a life of instant gratification, because, you know, you're instant gratification through high school, and then you graduate and you do these instant gratification things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll just use credit card for an example. Mm. Like, that is a cheat code. You don't have the money to buy certain things, and you use a credit card to buy yourself a lifestyle that you can't afford.
Yep.
Eventually, the world is going to say, hey, you're out of money. You're out of credit card money.
Yeah.
And you do a bankruptcy or whatever the case is. I'm not going to go down this rabbit hole.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, like, that is what life offers you sometimes, is this cheat codes of experiencing life as a shortcut, as instant gratification, and after a while, like, you're tapped out. Same thing with your weight. Like, you get to a certain place and you're like, well, shit, like, I can't go much higher than this because I'm gonna die.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's a really great let's run with that example of the credit cards, because let's say you get to that point where your credit cards are maxed out, you don't have the income to cover the interest on your credit card payments, and
let alone pay it all off,
right? So that's a pretty shitty situation to be in. Like, you're not gonna be happy in that situation. So you're paying the cost for your instant gratification in the long term, versus you pay the cost up front of, like, okay, I'm going to be diligent about how I spend my money. I'm going to take on the responsibility of handling this in a mature and adult manner. And down the road, you can invest, like, you can be investing your money along the way. And that's tough up front, because you want to buy the next iPhone or whatever. But if you decide, no, I'm not going to do that, I'm going to invest my money, I'm going to invest my time, well, down the road, you get to reap the rewards of that. And, like, that's, to me, that's what the definition of sacrifice
is. Well, it's clout chasing, right?
Mm.
I mean, we talk about this, I think we talked about this a few times, but, you know, the idea of thinking in your head, okay, I can invest this money and pay for this car cash in 10 years.
Mm.
If I get a 7 or 8% return or whatever the case is,
mm.
And maybe it's not, you can't pay for the whole thing for cash. But if we were to go with that assumption, most people don't want to have the idea of, okay, I can invest my money, drive a piece of shit car in their mind,
mm-hmm.
and everybody's going to judge them for driving a shitty car.
Right.
And yeah, the money is growing in the bank account, but who sees that? How do I get clout? How do I get prestige? How do I get followers? Because I can't just, like, take a screenshot of my bank account and post it online. Like, that doesn't show that I'm being successful.
Right.
I think all these different toys that you develop, you obtain in your life,
mm-hmm.
those are going to be the ones that show how much class you have, or how much this, or how much that.
Right.
And I think so many people aren't willing to swallow that pill of knowing that I got to eat like shit
mm-hmm.
for 10 years before I can actually buy the thing that I'm supposed to eventually be able to afford.
Right. Right. But you get, when you do get to that point, you get the, like, you enjoy the reward in a bigger sense than you could ever get right now.
Right. Because you worked for it.
You worked for it. And
it's yours.
Yeah. There's actually a function built into the hypothalamus portion of your brain where if you have a clearly defined goal and every action you take brings you closer to that goal, your brain rewards you with a dopaminergic or serotonergic response, aka feel-good hormones, the hormones that you get from doing drugs or getting that instant gratification. But you can get it in your brain if you're willing to put up the effort now and without the drugs.
Yeah, it's like getting PRs.
Do what?
It's like getting PRs at the gym.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And that's a good feeling to walk around with during the day when you know that, hey, I've earned the right to feel good about myself.
Yeah.
Because feeling good about yourself is not a given. You're not born into this world just feeling good about yourself. You got to earn it, maybe. And
especially if you're born in a different place in the world, mm-hmm. outside of the U.S., or, I mean, other privileged countries.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think we have it too good here in the U.S.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is,
well, we talk about culture and society all the time, right? And I think from the perspective of what we've become as a society and as a culture in America is at the macro,
mm-hmm.
like it's not what you would think of a country who's been given so much to their people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of it comes from, again, not going too much into this, but at the end of the day, in my mind, some of these things, you know, boil down to laziness and entitlement.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the stuff that we're talking about right now from a perspective of just information, mm-hmm. People are just lazy. They don't want to do the research to really understand, you know, what it is that they're believing. Mm-hmm. It's more about just feed it to me. Tell me what I'm supposed to believe. And I'm going to assume that the people who I'm listening to have my best, have my interest at heart, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's not the case, because some of these people are in the position that they're in is because they're able to, I guess, push people in a certain direction, mm-hmm. and they get elevated because they get more followers.
Right, right. And it's people using rhetoric, which is, to me, the bastardization of actual logic. Like, rhetoric is superficial logic, and I very much agree with that. It sounds like, because rhetoric sounds like it should be like a truth, but when you actually break apart the argument, you're like, whoa, wait, this isn't true at all. Like, this is preposterous, actually. But because they know how to manipulate logic and spin it in a way that sounds good, then if you're not poised to ask the questions, you're going to just be caught up in it, and you're going to believe these people that are trying to spin your world.
I think a lot of it too, you know, I'm not going to be too much of a dick and say that people are just lazy or entitled. I think sometimes it comes from, because I've met people like this, and I fall into this category sometimes. I was trying to thought. Sometimes people...
You're talking about people... Not
everyone's
lazy.
Yeah, well, it's just like, not everyone's lazy. Sometimes it's just a fear of sounding stupid, a fear of not knowing enough, a lack of resources, a lack of time. And all of this boils down to, if you really want to know, make it a priority.
Yeah. Right?
I don't disagree with that.
Yep.
But sometimes I feel like some people have so much shit happening in their life that they can't make all this other stuff a priority because they're just so focused on, how do I make sure I have a roof over my shoulders or right. over my head?
Right. Yeah, they're caught up on the now versus the future.
Well, I mean, sometimes people don't have the resources to give themselves the luxury of getting information. And that's the part that's tough. Mm. And to me, you know, if you're caught up in that, in that rat race, essentially, and you're just focused on, like, how do I work, go home, sleep, and repeat, I think finding yourself a group of people that can help you, you know, like, you have a group of friends, right? You know, one person's really good at sports, another person's really good at politics, and you hope that you're able to develop a good nucleus, is that the right word? A good group of people that are, each one of them has their own role. Like, if you were playing a video game, one's a healer, one's a whatever. And I think if you're able to do that, like, maybe that's a cheat code in not in a negative context, but find a way for, like, you know what, we're gonna coin you the person who informs the group about these things.
Yeah, well, even using the video game example, it's like bringing your friends in to help you beat the really hard boss.
Yeah,
like, no shame in that, man. Yeah. Like,
Having all of your friends be below average at everything,
right?
Each one of them, because becomes really good at one thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, and there's even empirical data that suggests people that are elevated generally don't bring people up.
Yeah.
It's usually the toxic people that bring elevated people down. And if you look around and your friends are not doing anything with their
exhausting.
Life, yeah, it's like, well, you should take a hard look at yourself and reevaluate your premises and think if you're doing something wrong, take the responsibility and individual responsibility of figuring out what's wrong and trying to solve it. Like, that's, for me, that's what I did. Was like, I was like, man, when I was 18, I was like, I don't know. I don't see what's going on. Like, I don't see where my life is going. I need help. Well, okay. Well, let me just start looking around and just find something I can learn from and then grow from there. And it become, you learn that you never really know it all. Like, you never really know as much as you think you do. Yep. And you have to keep challenging yourself to understand more and more and more. And it's a constant process. But I've found, anecdotally speaking, that the more I pursue that process, the more meaning my life has, and the more confidence I have in myself, and the more purpose I wake up with every day, because I'm like, okay, you know what? I don't know everything, but I'm taking on the responsibility of that challenge. And the more and more responsibility I take on, the more meaning my life has.
Yeah, it's extremely important to get more information, because if you don't, like, you get stuck where you're at, and you never really grow.
Mm-hmm.
And it's tough, right? I think sometimes, you know, I have conversations with you and I feel stupid when it comes to, like, politics, because I know some stuff, but I don't know, like, the stuff that you know, right? And so at the end of the day, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to listen to Randy. I'm going to follow what he has. But I'm going to, what's that phrase? It's like, listen but verify or something like that.
Oh yeah, trust but verify.
Yeah, so I'm gonna trust what you're telling me isn't wrong because that's information that you got.
Right.
But I'm gonna verify that you're not gonna lead me in the wrong direction.
Right.
Not that you're trying to manipulate me. Yeah. But it's more about like, you know, the information that's rent. Because this is another point that I wanted to share, is the information that Randy has consumed is one side. The information that I consume can be on the same side, but from a different voice.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the benefits of the day and age that we live in is social media,
mm-hmm.
is if I don't have the group of friends around me
mm-hmm.
that are gonna be able to elevate me because they're all stuck in the same place,
mm-hmm.
maybe I can find friends online.
Right.
Now, the fearful thing or the thing that sucks right now is you find too many friends that are going to be on that other side that are going to lead you in one direction.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say that you find so many friends that they end up taking you in the wrong direction, right? Now mm-hmm. it becomes like a, what's the word I'm looking for? Like a mob of mm-hmm. people who yep. have been misinformed.
Yep.
And you all start, you know, the mob mentality of like everyone hypes each other up and
yeah.
everybody starts to believe the same like lies.
Yep.
And you go in the wrong direction. But to me, it's important to find people online right now if you can't find people in your day-to-day life
mm-hmm.
that think on both sides of your thought process.
Yeah.
I'm not just talking about politics. I'm talking about everything.
Right. And I have a good rule of thumb. If my beliefs are emotionally driven, they need to be reevaluated. Yep. I don't think any belief should be emotionally driven because when you are engaged in high...
Maybe emotionally reinforced, but not driven.
Yes. I think everything should be reason-driven first and then emotionally backed.
And that's why I get so caught up with the... And this has been I keep bringing this up because it's been a really big thing the last couple of weeks for me, is the idea of definition versus meaning.
Mm-hmm.
Because meaning is emotionally driven. Mm-hmm. Definition is empirically driven, right? Mm-hmm. And so if we're going to have a debate about something... Let's first make sure that we're debating the same thing.
Right.
And let's agree to what the definition is of what we're talking about.
Yes.
And let's just have a discussion based on what the meaning that I have and the meaning that you have. Theoretically, it should be the same thing, but realistically, it's not.
Mm-hmm. 100% agree. It's tough a lot of times to check your premises, but it's mandatory if you want to have a meaningful existence.
Well, I mean, if you've never been trained, mm-hmm. I'm going to use the word trained, but... If you've never been trained in your life, like if your mom and dad or whoever's raising you, all they do is yell at you when you're a kid, like you think that's how you fix problems, right? You yell at someone, you go to your room and you go back online and you start getting other information, or you're in a relationship and your spouses or your partners, all you do is yell at each other.
Mm.
Like that's not how you fix things.
Yeah.
You go to work and you work in a job that doesn't have constructive, you know, peers that are going to be able to drive in the right direction. All I do is yell at you and give you orders.
Mm-hmm.
Like, again, I can keep going, giving more examples, but at the end of the day, like you don't have the tools
mm-hmm.
to be able to have this discourse.
Right.
And that sucks.
Yeah.
And so like, what are some of the things that you think people can do, to either recommend to their friends who don't know how to have this discourse, or even themselves, like if they're listening right now and they don't know how to navigate this world. Like, what are some of the things that you think you've done to get better at critical thinking and get better at having this discourse in a constructive way?
First, you need...
Even if it is opposing thoughts.
That's a really great question. And I would first say you have to recognize that you are as capable of evil as the worst monster in the world. Like, there's a book called Ordinary Men that talks about how these ordinary cops in Germany got turned into Nazis who were executing naked pregnant women in a field. And you have to recognize that that could very easily be you if you're not careful. And you have to recognize your own capacity for evil so that you know that you have to really think about your actions and what is contributing towards something evil or bad, and what action could you take that contributes towards something good.
Or even calibration, I think. Mm-hmm. Like if you can lie to yourself and tell yourself, okay, I'm not that evil.
Mm-hmm.
But if you calibrate to the world you live,
mm-hmm.
maybe you're at the top spectrum of the evil that you are capable of doing
right.
in your world right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, and if you espouse one thing and do another, like that's a very easy way to tell that you're on the wrong path.
Yeah.
If your actions do not line up with what you talk about, you're the bad guy. I hate to tell you, but you need to know like that. And we talked about earlier about Gad Saad pointing out the hypocrisy of Seth Rogen and how right now Gad Saad is being punished for that, which is absurd because he made a coherent argument versus Seth's emotionally based argument, and somehow Gad is in the wrong, which is ridiculous.
If you want to look that up, it's GAD S-A-A-D.
Correct. Yeah. Check out his Twitter and you can see kind of, you'll get the rundown on it. It was very interesting times in that regard. But we're, because of how, I'm sure most of you have seen The Social Dilemma now, and you can see how radicalized people are becoming. This is more than ever. It is so imperative to critically think about what you are doing and what you are thinking about and what information you are being presented with.
Yeah, I think if people don't want to come down to the terms and maybe read a book, you know, I feel like we rant about this shit over and over.
Yeah.
I'm a kind of a hypocrite right now because I haven't read any books this year, but nonetheless, I mean, the 12 principles of life, right?
Yeah.
Jordan, 12 rules of life. Yeah. Jordan Peterson. That's a really good book, I think.
Yep.
It kind of slows you down and makes you really think about some things. But if you don't want to read that book, maybe try Audible.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if you can do that, go on YouTube and try to find some resources.
Yeah, go watch an interview with Jordan. Yeah. Go watch Joe Rogan and Jordan Peterson. Go watch H3H3 and Jordan Peterson.
And some channels have what they've done is they take the books and they break them down and they go over them. So if you want to watch it in that perspective or that context in a video, that's another recommendation that I would suggest.
Yeah, and you should be questioning all the time what you think. So here's a great example. I finished reading Why Businessmen Need Philosophy by Ayn Rand, and that book made two interesting points that I hadn't considered and I need to think more time about and do some research on, because that book makes the point that antitrust legislation is amoral, as well as legislation against insider trading being amoral. And I'm like, that's a really interesting point. That wasn't my initial thought. I initially disagree, but I'm like, you know what? I respect Ayn Rand and I respect her thoughts. I'm going to think about this and do some research and consider it and to really figure out what the arguments are on both sides and see which one is the most rational and kind of pick out what the consequences of pursuing both both arguments would be to kind of base my judgment.
I think outside of books, another recommendation that I can give people, and I think this is easier said than done, is developing a ecosystem or developing a platform of vulnerability and just being able to check your ego at the door.
Yep.
And I think that's extremely difficult when we're passionate about certain topics because I'm going to allow my emotions to overcome me.
Yep.
Because I'm so passionately driven by the fact that I want this to be true because these are my beliefs. These are to my core. I want this to be true.
Yeah.
And you're maybe thinking to think the same thing, or you're going to think opposite thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, like, it's extremely difficult to remove my emotions if I've never practiced these things.
Yeah.
And I would say is, if you're going to go through these motions and go through these reps, like, don't let the first time of you trying to do this be the time that matters.
Right. Thanks for listening to this week's episode. We'll catch you next week.